For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Becoming the best version of you. So today we're going to talk about becoming the best version of you. And Dan Siegel says, pay attention to the inner sensibility. Otherwise, you are adapting to the world as a chameleon to what others think you should be. I don't know about you guys, but I've lived a lot of my life being a chameleon. Often people's biggest regret when they're dying is that they did not live true to themselves. They lived up to other people's expectations, not to what really mattered to them. The problem is that we speed through life, not giving ourselves a chance to feel what's in our hearts. We don't create space to truly see ourselves until the rug gets pulled out from under us. When the rug gets pulled out from under us, we're in darkness. But remember, darkness doesn't last forever. Night turns to morning. Cloudy, foggy skies turn sunny. We can recognize and allow the darkness, and by slowing down and paying attention, we'll eventually see the light. Over the years, society has pulled us away from our true selves. We pile on layer after layer of roles we need to play, expectations we need to meet, how we need to look, how we should feel. And when we don't shed the expectations that no longer work, our authentic self gets buried deeper and deeper. We're so accustomed to the identities thrust upon us, we don't even realize that we're wearing layers of masks. We begin to think that's who we are, but it's not who we are. It's who we were needed to be at some point in time. It's who we think we need to be to fit in and belong. Brené Brown says, true belonging doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. I wish I would have heard that quote about 40 years ago. Because true belonging doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. And if we have to change who we are, we're probably in with the wrong group of people. Sometimes it feels more comfortable to live the roles expected of me. Often on the path to discovering my authentic self, I question, why the heck am I doing this? This is hard. It's hard to strip away the layers of defense that I've built up to keep myself safe. But as D.H. Lawrence says, you need to really dig deep to get down to your authentic self, to what you really need. Then I remember how I'm plagued by feelings of unworthiness and self-doubt when I'm not living authentically. And those feelings drain my energy and keep me from living the life that I want to live. If I look back to my first marriage, I spent years trying to be who I thought he wanted me to be. But after having kids, that got to be too exhausting. I just didn't have the energy. And I couldn't be who I thought I was supposed to be. And I was not even right about what he wanted me to be. So today, with both my ex and I living more authentically ourselves, my daughter-in-law says she can't even ever picture us being married because we're so very different. Brené Brown says, authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we actually are. When I'm not living authentically, I feel like I have a hole in my soul, and chocolate doesn't fill it. I need to keep striving for something more. And when I can live with who I am at my core, not who the world told me to be, that hole doesn't feel so large and life is not so exhausting. In my meditation teacher training, I was given the gift of space to honestly look at myself and set my heart's direction. how I wanted to live my life. Something my authentic self could commit to regardless of external circumstances. It allowed me to see that things that once seemed critical were not really important, but were still a driving force in my life. It was in 2017 when I defined for the first time my North Star, and it remains my North Star today. What it is for me is take off the mask of doing and knowing, have the courage to open myself to uncertainty, suffering, and impermanence. In doing so, I will find true intimacy, knowing that I have loving awareness in me that I can draw on. So setting that North Star has given me a direction that I want my life to go. And have I gone in a straight line toward it? Absolutely not. But when I veer off course, I can see that I'm off course and I can get back on track. So there's 5 steps that I've done that really have helped me to uncover my authentic self. And I had a lot of layers of masks and defenses I had to peel off to get down to it. So the first was defining my North Star, setting the compass of my life. We often think we see clearly, but our perception's distorted by who we think we are or who we think we're supposed to be. So even when we want to change, we hold on to that image and unconsciously work against the change we want to make. So many in prison say, "I'm an angry person," and they think they can't change from being an angry person. But nobody is an angry person. Everyone is a person who sometimes gets angry, and some people are more skillful with their anger than others. So we hold on to this perception that I am stupid, or I am angry, or I'm not good enough. And then we can't make the changes we want to make to become who we really are deep down inside. It's pretty easy for us to fall into unconscious patterns to soothe ourselves. Reaching for chocolate, buying a little something, maybe having a drink, whatever it is, even when we know those habits are pulling us off the path to our authentic self. D.H. Lawrence says, "Men are not free when they're doing just what they like." We think freedom's doing what we like. That's not what makes us free. Men are only free when they're doing what their deepest self likes, and that takes some digging to get down to your deepest self. All the things that are on the surface of what you like might be just covering up, covering over, making you feel pleasant for a moment, but not really helping you on the path to be who you authentically are. So even if we've charted our North Star, we won't see reality if we're moving too fast. To map our route, we need time to reflect on our aspirations regularly. And some people do it once a year, coming up in January, thinking about your aspirations for the year. But that's really not often enough, because you fall off the wagon by mid-February at the latest, if you're lucky. And so we need to reflect on our aspirations, because wherever our attention goes, that's where our energy flows. And if our attentions go into the negative, that's where our energy's flowing, and then we don't have energy for the positive. And we need energy to get to stay on the path toward our North Star. And we can increase our energy by resourcing ourselves, taking in the good, practicing loving kindness and self-compassion. We do need to train our brains to see the positive. That's part of taking off some of the masks and the defenses of all the negatives. Because when our perception is contracted, when we feel tight and contracted, it's like we have tunnel vision and we can't see the whole big picture. We don't see all that we can do or all that we can have. All we can see is what we can't do and what we don't have. And so we need to see how we suffer. I'm not saying be positive and look at only the bright side of things. We need to see how we suffer and how our life's out of kilter. But we also need to look at the bigger picture to see what can we do about it. Mindfulness enables us to understand our starting point. Where am I right now in my life? And where's my destination, my North Star? And then what are some of the successive landmarks that I need to pass if I want to keep going toward my North Star? Do I need to become more self-compassionate? Do I need to practice more loving kindness? Do I need to become more aware of what's happening in the present moment? What are some of the landmarks that I need? So the first step was defining my North Star. The next step was recognizing and allowing my feelings. A lot of times when we're trying to be who people want us to be, we push our feelings under the carpet and we don't acknowledge them, we don't recognize them, and we get so used to them that being there poking up at us that it's just like, okay, well, this is just how life is. And we don't realize and we don't listen to what's going on. But once we found our North Star, we can do a better job of paying attention. We can see how our old stories limit us and hold us back. We can be aware of our habits, and we can try to avoid or tone down all the thoughts we have of clinging and hatred or harmful intent. We don't have to let those run again and again in our mind. Sure, they may pop up, but we have control over when we want to switch the focus of our attention. And we may look at our intentions and we'll see that they are marbled with wanting and with fear. And we can see if we can make those intentions just a little purer by taking away some of the wanting or standing up to some of the fear. So recognizing is seeing what's really true in your inner life. And it starts the minute you focus your attention on whatever thoughts, emotions, feelings, or sensations are arising right now. As your attention settles and opens, you'll see that some parts of your existence are easier to be with or to connect with than others. You might recognize anxiety right away. But maybe if you're focused on your worried thoughts, you might not notice the sensations of squeezing, the pressure, or the tightness of your body. And those are your Bella mindfulness to say, hey, you're getting anxious. You're about to step on that hamster wheel of reactivity. Pay attention. Sometimes if you're gripped by jittery nervousness, you might not recognize that this physical sensation is triggered by an underlying belief that you're about to fail. And if you can just recognize what you're feeling and then allow it to be there, you can look at that and see more clearly. You're getting a little bit more curious as you focus inward, and you're letting go of your preconceived notions, and you're just listening to what is my body or my mind telling me right now. And allowing means letting the thoughts be. It doesn't mean letting the situation be if it's something you can change, but it's letting the thoughts or letting the feelings be without automatically jumping in and trying to fix them. And that is really hard to do. It's taken me years, and I can sometimes do it. But it really is important because you want any unpleasant feelings to go away, and you try and push them away, and you try and fix them, but you're not just sitting with them. And the way to take the power of those feelings away is to sit with them. Because the biggest thing about our feelings that makes them so scary is that we are afraid we're going to get overwhelmed with them and we're not going to be able to do anything. If we train ourselves to sit with them, they're not so scary anymore. It's fear that's keeping us from being with our feelings and seeing what's going on. And we can't look underneath if we're all contracted with fear. So we become more willing to be present with what is when we allow our feelings to just be there. And then we get a different quality of attention. Instead of the flashlight on what we can't have or what we don't like, we can turn the floodlight on and say, yeah, this is here, but look at all these other good things, so that we're not totally focused just on the negative. Allowing is intrinsic to healing, and realizing this can give rise to a conscious intention to let be. Think about the Beatles song, Let It Be, Let It Be, Let It Be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. It's really hard to just let your unpleasant thoughts or feelings be. So you might want to just say some kind of encouraging phrase to yourself, like, yes, this is happening, or this too, or my favorite is, I can be with this. Because usually I used to tell myself, I can't be with this, get rid of it. We have to do that again and again. And at first you feel like you're just putting up with it. But the more you can just allow that feeling to be and sit with it without fixing it, just see what it feels like. You can fix it after you're done with your meditation. But in your meditation, don't be running stories in your mind. Just feel what it feels like. Because that's the way you get down to your inner wisdom. And it's amazing how many times I've done that and the answer comes to me. Not through thoughts, but by just sitting with it and saying, here's what I'm feeling like. Because my entire being is not so resistant. I don't have all that brick wall up to my inner goodness. And my inner goodness is really wise. I want to listen to it. And it softens the harsh edges of my pain, and it makes me expand my window of tolerance for discomfort and pain so that I can be with more and more and more. Rick Hansen says, people often swerve away from their dreams to avoid risking experiences they dread. The edge of the experience we fear form a kind of invisible force that limits the life we allow ourselves to have. So when we have this tolerance for discomfort and it's small, it's really limiting our life. But if we can make it bigger and bigger, there's less and less limits on our life. The next one is thinking about the energy and the effort. How many of ever started a habit gung-ho, I'm going to do this, I'm going to exercise 2 hours every day, or some crazy thing like that. And we come up with these ideas of what we're going to do, and we start out so big that 2 weeks later, maybe 2 days later, we give it up because it's too hard. So we have to think about how much effort am I going to put into this and how much energy do I have? Because too much effort can be as detrimental to change as not enough effort. If we say, I'm going to quit doing, you know, whatever, quit interrupting people was one of mine, I'm going to do that. I had that intention and I really tried hard, but it went nowhere. So you have to think about what is doable. Because if we're doing too much, we're moving too fast to see what's really happening. And when we try too hard, we lose the energy we need to keep moving forward. If I go for a 2-hour walk one day, the next day I don't feel like working out. You know, maybe it's a 3-hour walk, whatever. If I walk too long one day, the next day I just don't have the energy. And so we have to balance our effort with our energy. When they get out of balance, we just give up. So in when we're meditating, we're using just the effort we need to bring ourselves back to the present moment. We don't need to use any more energy than that. Just bring ourselves back to the present moment. And in life, I think it's just the effort required to pause so that we can respond instead of react. Oprah says, the energy we send out in the world is the energy we get back. If you want kindness and love, send out kindness and love. If you wonder why there are so many angry people in your life, look no further than the resentment you hold in your own heart. So paying attention to our energy and our effort is really key. And part of that is by listening more to our inner nurturer. You know, what we say can move us along on our path or it can derail us. And to go in the right direction, we really need to stop and listen to that wisdom we have inside of us. We need to remember that our inner nurturer speaks very softly, and our inner critic speaks loud and harshly. And so we might be getting guidance in our gut, in our heart, or just a more profound knowing. And we can only get that by sitting and allowing the feelings to be there. Our inner critic encourages imposter syndrome. And that's what keeps us from changing when we want to change, because we feel like we're an imposter when we're really not. Our inner critic would make Einstein look dumb and Mother Teresa look selfish. Keep that in mind when your inner critic's talking to you. For most of us, our inner critics live past its sell-by date. We don't need that inner critic anymore to keep us safe, because we can employ reason, reflection, and compassion to navigate the challenges of our life. The inner nurturer is the part of you that acts like your own best friend. It accepts that you're perfectly imperfect, and it tells you it's normal to make mistakes, so you don't tense up and close down when you make a mistake. It speaks to you in a soft, compassionate way, unlike the harsh, belittling tone of the inner critic. So it might be helpful to create some response your inner nurturer can give when your inner critic starts to get out of control. Maybe something like, I know you're trying to help, but it's not working. I know you're trying to help because your inner critic is trying to help, but not so skillfully. That's not working. The inner nurturer will remind you that you can pause and calm your body by breathing. It will let you know you're not alone. You're part of the imperfect human race. And then you can reword the observations made by your inner critic in a kinder, more positive way. And that's going to make you more likely to get the change that you're looking for. Your inner nurturer might guide you when you reflect on these questions. What is my highest goal? What is my best intention for myself and others that I'm in relationship with? What matters to me in this response that I'm going to give, whether it's action or words? And do I want to be right, understood differently, or connect? What is it that I'm looking for? And by reflecting on those questions, you can come up with the best next step. If we've slowed down enough to see reality and think about our options, we'll choose actions and situations that align us with our North Star. We'll act in ways that reduce suffering rather than increase it. Oprah's advice for skillful action is, before you agree to do anything that might add even the smallest amount of stress to your life, ask yourself, what's my truest intention? Give yourself time to let a yes resound within you. When it's right, I guarantee your entire body will feel it. But we're so rushed, we rush into doing things and getting them done before we even know whether that's really the right thing for us to do. So if we can take a mindful pause and think about, will this action move me along my path, or is it going to pull me off course? There's many activities we can incorporate into our daily lives. So I encourage you for the next couple of weeks till we meet again on January 8th to commit to one thing that you're not already doing, or that you, and you'll do it for at least 1 minute a day between now and January 8th. And this afternoon I will email out this list so you don't have to take notes. But some of the options you could consider are taking in the good. That's just taking time, 20, 30 seconds, to really savor something, whether it's a picture of a family member or a beautiful blue sky with clouds. Practice gratitude. Make and keep a small promise to yourself. I found that one of the reasons I wasn't my best self is I couldn't trust myself to keep the small promises I made. I'd let other things get in the way. You know, anyone else's need got in the way, and then I wouldn't do it if I promised myself I was going to sit, and something came up that someone needed something, I wouldn't keep that promise. So I think that's important. If you promise yourself that you'll do something for yourself every day, whether it's enjoy a cup of coffee without doing anything else, or just doing, you know, just taking in the good could be your promise. Commit to one self-care, not self-indulgence activity. Self-care is something that feels good in the present, but is also good for you in the long run. So exercise, eating right, meditating, those are the kind of self-care things. Maybe even indulging in relaxing in a warm bath, or, you know, reading a good book or something like that that just makes you feel good. Taking the time to do that. Or questioning the truth of your inner critic's chatter. Our inner critic's chattering in our brain 24/7, and a lot of it it's saying is not true, and maybe was never true. And if we don't question it, it's going to just keep saying that, and that strengthens the neural pathways in our brain, and we start believing it. Practice taking a mindful pause. Someone says something and you feel triggered, take your 3 breaths before you react. Or ask yourself each morning when you wake up, what can I do today to move in the direction of my North Star? Acknowledge when you're suffering. You know, this is the holidays, we're all supposed to be happy, but at times there's something that's going to pull us down. And acknowledging it and admitting it to ourselves that, I don't feel so good about this. Or I feel left out, or I feel invisible, or whatever it is, or I just feel stressed, there's too much going on. Admit that to yourself so that you can take care of yourself. Maybe tell yourself I'm worthy, or I'm enough, or it's okay to be perfectly imperfect. And maybe meditate by just sending kindness to yourself and others throughout the day. So being your authentic self means you're using all your skills, your talents, and your wisdom. It's doing things that are uniquely you. Your actions arise from who you are, not what you believe you're supposed to be. So you might be asking, will this choice create peace within me? And what's the most loving action I could take right now? Jen Sincero says, being authentic means loving who you love, pursuing the stuff you're interested in, laughing at the shit you find funny, and fighting for what you think is right. Being authentic also means giving yourself permission to change your mind, make mistakes, be a jerk, beg forgiveness, be sad, lonely, stupid, and lazy. just letting yourself be who you really are in that moment. And so to be your best self, you really have to stop, think about what is my North Star of who I want to be. It's probably not something you'll ever fully become, but it's what you want to move towards. And then you've got to recognize and allow all the feelings and thoughts that are coming up in your head 24/7. And you have to choose what you're going to react to or how you're going to respond based on the amount of energy you have and the amount of effort that you can give. And then you're listening to your inner nurturer, because you have this wisdom inside you. We each do. And if we can get down and quiet ourselves enough to listen to it, we'll know what the best step is, what the right thing to do next is.